Sometimes it feels like we're falling, but could it just be that we're flying? We were on the way up, they were on the way down. We put a weight up and nothing can bring.
What is up, y'all? It's your girl Jay, and it is March 8th, and you are listening to Redefine Me, the podcast, a safe space for women to redefine beauty, love, and life. You guys, I'm so excited about today's episode because it is the beginning of a new series called Redefining Faith. Every episode is going to feature a different woman sharing moments in their lives where their faith was redefined. And I truly believe that each of us is going to have something that we can take from these stories. All of these women are my friends, and hearing their stories really made me look at them differently. It made me look at them as stronger women than I thought they were. It made me look at them as women who are willing to be vulnerable, because you know that's hard sometimes, because vulnerability sometimes makes you feel weak. But understand that there is healing for someone in your vulnerability, and that's what this series is about. So the next couple of episodes that you will hear are episodes that are featuring these different women. I chose faith because faith has literally been my currency for the past couple of months. I've been moving on faith. My faith has been activated on a different level, and I've been able to see the result of me leaning into my faith and trusting God on a whole entirely different level, and it's really been life-changing. And in that time, I said to myself, you know what? I want to hear other stories from women who had moments where that's all that they could do was have faith. Because I know that there are other people who need to hear this, you know? And I can sit here and I can talk to you guys all day, but I think it's important that I understand that I'm just one person with one experience. And one viewpoint on life. So why not get other stories so we all can be inspired? So I hope that you enjoy these stories. I hope that they are helpful to you, and I hope that they bring healing to you in some way, hope to you in some way. And I want you all to make sure that you let me know how these stories affected you and what other areas you want to redefine. So before we get started, I have a little message. Hey there, did you know that I curated a book last year called 50 Different Definitions of Beauty? This book is compiled of 50 amazing definitions of beauty, originally written by women who attended a different definition events throughout the years. My favorite definition is, beauty is posting your picture with no filter. This book is the ultimate book full of affirmations to get you going. So make sure you head over to adifferentdefinition.com and order your copy today. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that we created a playlist just for you. It's called the Safe Space Playlist, and it's available on Apple Music. Every month, we add new songs to the playlist. This playlist is just for you to create your safe space wherever you are. So make sure you go and you add the Safe Space Playlist on Apple Music. I'm no. If you peel back my heart, would you see it? The damage of what you expect from me. Yeah, yeah. The secrets of a lie that
when makeup can't hide, I wanna tell it all. I know that pretty hurts, but what kind of torture is this? I'm never gonna be perfect. I'm drawing out the lines of what defines beauty. When will you see beauty is me?
Having faith is not always easy. Life throws so much at us. It's an ongoing journey. And as you listen to Ravia's story, you realize that there was one moment that changed her entire life. Her life relied on her faith, and it was redefined over and over and over again. As you listen to her story, she is vulnerable and courageous. Realize that God guides us and never leaves us. Her faith is still being redefined. She is still striving and she is still fighting. I pray that her story encourages you to keep going and never lose the faith, even when you feel like giving up.
My name is Ravia, and my faith was redefined. When I was 5 years old, I was in a car accident, hit by a drunk driver, with my mother and my brother, and they died, and I lived from that moment. My mom passed away instantly. My brother held on for a few days, but eventually ended up passing as well. No one could have told me that that moment would change the trajectory of my life in so many ways, from my love life to the pursuit of my career, even driving. So many people take it for granted, and for me, it's a big deal. So I'll start from the beginning. The story goes, my mom and I were thick as thieves. We would go everywhere together. She was always in the church. She would sing in the choir, and I would sit at her feet in the choir stand where the choir would be. I wouldn't be out in the audience, you know, so we were always together. Well, one day she was going to go visit a coworker, and she was about to drive over a bridge. Well, there was a guy in the neighborhood who had been drinking heavily, and he was going around the neighborhood in circles. So he would just circle the block over and over and over again, driving drunk. As soon as we went over the bridge, he hits us. Again, my mom passed instantly. I flew out of the car window. Thankfully, I didn't go over the bridge. And, you know, my brother, he held on for a few days. I remember waking up. I was in a coma for about a week. I woke up in the hospital with my grandmother sitting by my bed. First thing I said, Grandma, I said, where's my brother? And she broke down in tears. And it was at that moment I said, Grandma, where's my mom? And I said, she's dead, isn't she? And she cried even more. So fast forward, I did not get counseling as a child. In hindsight, I definitely should have. But a lot of those emotions I held in, and it showed up, you know, in how I would present myself, if that makes sense. So went through elementary school. Pretty much everybody knew I was the girl who was in that really bad car accident, you know? So I went through school, I went through high school, and then college came. It wasn't until around 19 years old when the emotions, the unresolved emotions, really, really hit hard. I remember thinking, God, you know, everybody I love, I lose. And at that moment, I got really afraid of life. And I started to get anxious in any circumstance. I would get really anxious. I eventually stopped going to classes. I lost friends, to be frank. I lost friends because I was too afraid to be honest with them about what I was dealing with. I said, nobody would understand. They will judge me. I developed a phobia of actually just being by myself. So I go home. This was Atlanta. I was at Georgia State University, and I go back home to Macon, Georgia. And my folks are like, we're gonna have to pull you out of school. If you're going to be like this, you can't be up there by yourself. But I said no. I said something in my spirit just said, tell them no. And I looked them square in the eye and I said, I'm going back to Atlanta, even if I have to pray this through. So after I told them that, I laid down for a moment and I was crying. And there was a Bible sitting next to the bed. And this was a time where even though I went to church, I wasn't studying the Bible, you know, to know scriptures, you know, by heart. But I picked up the Bible and the first page it came to was Jeremiah 29:11. I was in the infancy stage of my dreams. You know, anybody who knows me knows I want to be a world-renowned songwriter. That's always been my dream. That's the only thing I've been working at, you know, since I was a teenager. So I read it. I said, the scripture says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. You will look for me wholeheartedly and you will find me. I will be found by you. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. I immediately started crying harder because what God was telling me in that moment, you think I'm out to get you. You're afraid to be alone because you're losing everybody and you think I'm out to get you. And God was saying, no, I have major plans for you. So I went back in the kitchen after seeing this scripture and I said, take me back to Atlanta. A day or two later, they took me back and the feelings of panic attacks came down like a flood, okay? But you know what I did? I put on the music my grandmother would play. It was I'm a soldier on the battlefield and I'm fighting. And I just sang that over and over and over and over again. Anytime I would feel the panic attacks come to me, I would sing it. And then I eventually got through that moment. Until a few years later, I had to have emergency surgery. The surgery that I had at 5 years old started to develop scar tissue internally, and that was not a good thing. So, again, I was alone. In the hours that I was feeling pain from that, I was alone. My family, they were in Macon. I was calling a guy I was talking to at the moment, and I said, hey, I'm in so much pain. He said, I'm at the studio. I can't do anything, you know? And I was in so much pain, and I was like, here I am alone, you know? I eventually got a hold of a best girlfriend of mine, Courtney, and I said, Courtney, I said, I'm alone. I said, I'm hurting. I don't know what's wrong with me. And she took me to the hospital and they said, oh, we have to have surgery. We gotta, you know, do surgery on you. So after the surgery, that's by that time my family had come. Never saw the guy, but you know, my family had come and everybody I loved was around me. I was healing. I was on 6-week bed rest, but as I was healing, those same triggers of anxiety came up again. All right. And so around the 6-week, I would say I'm back in Atlanta, and now I have to start driving again. I have to get out into the world again after this bed rest, and here come the panic attacks, you know? So every time I call on God, though, that's one thing. He's always there. I call on God in this moment, and I say, God, I need you. Please send somebody to help me get through this. I can't do this again. And the next day, my brother Montrell comes with his then fiance, and he wanted to come to my house, but he's a personal trainer, and I didn't want him going through my cabinets, you know, throwing out my food. So I was gonna tell him no, but he was like, come on, let me come over. I want you to meet my fiance. So they came over, and LaShawn McCrary is her name, and she says, I'm a life coach. I see you're going through a lot. You don't have to call me, but here's my business card. I only want to help people who help themselves. And I just put her business card in my Bible. The irony, though, was that I prayed for somebody right before she came. And the next day, I go to Walmart with two of my roommates, or two people from my dorm room, and I'm 22 years old, just out of college, and I have the worst panic attack of my life. I go back home after this episode and I open my Bible. I see her card. I call her and she helps me breathe. And she says, we have to stop putting a Band-Aid over it. Let's get to the root of your problem. So she worked with me to drive, to, you know, get back out and, you know, just pretty much get to a stable position. And I did really, 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 really well for a few years. And I was very happy because the quality of life had returned. And I still had moments, don't get me wrong, but I was very happy because I was on an upward trajectory from there. Well, at 27, things were not working out like I'd hoped in the music industry. A lot of things had occurred. And God was telling me, I need you to move. God said flat out, I need you to move to California. And I was like, no, you mean move away from my family? I already know how it was years ago when I was afraid to be alone. And now, you know, even though I'm living on my own, I'm thriving. What happens when I go to LA, you know? But delayed obedience is still disobedience. And as much as I tried to delay that command, God made me uncomfortable, pretty much. And so finally, I took the leap and I moved. So fast forward a few years later, 28, 29, a few of my friends died suddenly, okay? And that triggered me so much to where those same old feelings started to come back again. But now I'm in LA, and when you talk about being alone, you really talking about being alone. Don't get me wrong, I have family out here. But I, you know, I live alone. It's me, it's my dog, and I'm grinding for this dream of mine alone, pretty much. So after my friends passed away, one of my friends who passed away died of a heart attack in her sleep. And literally weeks after that, I start feeling heart palpitations. Like my heart would start fluttering in my chest. So I was doing really well, driving everywhere, doing everything I needed to do until this happened. So here I am, obsessing over what's going on with me, you know? So I'm in the cardiologist, I'm in the doctor's office, I couldn't drive. Now I'm afraid to drive because, okay, not only is the trauma from the past coming up, but now I'm afraid to really drive. Needless to say, that year, my whole life shrunk again, and I felt like I was 19 years old again, trying to get through this. But now I don't have, you know, my daddy. I can't call my auntie. I you know, now it's really be a big girl, Ravia. And so last year was the year I said, you know what? It's time to face it. It's time to face it head on. I had to start taking some anti-anxiety medication, which it's not too bad. And the quality of my life has started to return. But the biggest thing was driving again, because LA is a different beast than Georgia. And pretty much, I really sought God about it. I'm seeking God about it. Let me speak in present tense. I said, God, I need a helper. I need somebody to help me through this. And what he told me to do was super simple. Google your exact symptom. And I did. And I found a psychologist who is out here and who deals exactly with what I face, which is right now it's pretty much the driving phobia that I deal with. Just trying to overcome that, because even though I drive, when you get to a certain point, I hate it. Okay, so he's been helping me through, and honestly, I'm still in this faith walk. I'm gonna be honest with you. If to say that I have conquered this thing would be a complete lie to you, but what I can say is that day by day, my life is improving. Day by day, the quality of my life is improving. I have a therapist, who helps me to identify how that trauma at 5 years old affects me to this day, not just with driving, because that's a given, okay? But with my love life, how when I date guys, how my responses to the situations have been responses from the trauma. Even to my career, how I can be aware of how I show up in certain circumstances or respond in certain circumstances. So, you know, everything that I've been through has made me everything that I am. I hate that my mom passed. I hate that my brother passed. I hate that, you know, all of that happened. However, if that had not have happened, I definitely wouldn't be who I am today. And I definitely would not need the faith that I need for this journey that God has put me on today. And I definitely know deep in my heart that something great is on the horizon. So I'm very, 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 very grateful. And I look forward to what God has for me.
Join us again next week for a new segment of our new series, Redefining Faith.
And I was praying this prayer every day, every single day. I was praying the same thing, just asking God daily, Lord, please remove him. And I remember the lady told me, she said, well, do you trust God? Do you have faith? And I said, yes, I trust him. I have faith. And she says, well, you can't worry and have faith at the same time. She's like, if you have faith in him, then you have to trust and believe that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And if you're asking him to remove this man from your life, then you have to trust and believe that that's what's going to happen.